Lastly, to our supporters who can't be here, hopefully during these difficult times we've brought a bit of a smile on your face. For both Galway and Mayo, I know it's been difficult for supporters not being in the stands. So I hope everybody watching the telly has got a nice smile on their face tonight and can enjoy the evening. So thanks everyone, cheers.
It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Mayo are Connacht champions. It's been a while since we said that. Mike Finnerty, welcome along.
Rob, I love the way you're being so polite here. You don't want to interrupt Pádraig Joyce's post-match interview. He's only 10 or 15 yards away. It's a bit like standing outside the church when the funeral is going on, and yet you just want to maybe have a quick conversation about something else. And we're trying to be respectful, aren't we, here, as we drink in the post-match atmosphere, or lack of therein.
I don't hear any car horns beeping going past. And Colin Sheridan, welcome along. I felt like there was enough Mayo people around this city to maybe have hopped in their cars, well, within a 5 kilometre radius, of course, and just pipped a few horns, but no.
Well, I tell
we're
you,
above that.
We're definitely above it. We're the we're better for it, Rob. But I tell you, Pádraig Joyce, you just mentioned him there, and he's so close to us right now. He's one man I wouldn't be annoying at the moment, because after what we saw today, I think he got a lot right. And not to say that his players let him down, they didn't, but they'll be kicking themselves, because as great as it was to see and Mayo get a victory in such unique circumstances, Galway had it there for the taking, and I genuinely can't believe, especially the way the last 5 minutes panned out, that they didn't squeeze Mayo out.
In today's podcast, as well as our two introduced already lads, we're going to hear from Edwin McGrail as well. He's going to join us. He's down there listening to Pádraig Joyce at the moment. We're going to hear some post-game interviews from James Horn as well. And I said interviews, plural, but it's just a interview the way things are working right now. We might speak to that a bit later as well. We've got Andy Moran on again, back by popular demand. Didn't get a chance to catch his partner in crime, Martin Kearney, this time, but we'll have him on again soon. And Paul Early, who made some sense of all of this chaos straight afterwards. Chaos is probably the wrong word, but it was a battle and it was a hard one to make sense of.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Rob, and I'd agree with Colin as well. It could so easily have gone the other way. And I got to interview James Horan a few minutes ago there, and he was just reflecting on. I asked him if he was enjoying this 5 games in 5 weeks and these games coming thick and fast, and he took a moment, and then he said, "I don't know if I really enjoyed those last 10 or 15 minutes." And I suppose he was speaking for Mayo and probably Galway people everywhere, because it was just so chaotic. Those last 10-15 minutes were so chaotic. I have to admit, I'm looking forward to watching back that late incident where the Galway guy went down. It looked like a penalty to me in real time. I know Galway got a free, but there were a couple of other near misses as well. Freeze out, there could have been freeze in. The late sideline ball that Gary Sykes took from the wrong place, he picked out a man who was going to kick the equaliser. They get brought back to take it again. It all breaks down. And then down at the other end, Owen McLaughlin nearly gets goal of the year, Pádraig Brogan 85 style, and Bernard Power produces a great save. So, I mean, there were all these twists and turns, and it could so easily have gone the other way, but great one to win. A 1-point win here in Salt Hill is always a sweet one.
Edwin McGrail, welcome along. You wanted to take something up there.
Yeah, I'm just back from hearing Pádraig Joyce there, who said he was a long way away from that debatable penalty-free one, but his players are adamant, as Doherty used, that it was a penalty. I'd like to see it back myself, but he was also furious about that line ball that Gary Sykes took, that was brought back for being taken from the wrong place. And I think just generally frustrated, and I think whoever lost there today was going to be frustrated with a lot of refereeing decisions, but definitely down the home straight there, Galway had a few calls that they'd be wondering about, and Pádraig Joyce is very frustrated about that, but also frustrated with his own players. He felt their game plan worked the way they wanted it to work, but too many cheap turnovers, particularly in the first half. And I think he said 6 of their Mayo's 8 first half points came from sloppy Galway turnovers. So that's a huge concession, really, if that is the case, like, you know. So it's interesting, like, a 1-point defeat. Like, James Horan is the right side of the margin, and he's in a good place, and Pádraig Joyce is just the other extreme. It just shows just how fine the margin is, and how fine the emotions can be as a result.
I've always kind of, Colin, we have a tendency to look on and obsess about Galway because they had those famous wins in 98 and 01. I always remember 98, I think it was Gary Fahey picking the ball off the ground in the drawn game against Roscommon, and you think one of the best teams I've ever seen playing an All-Ireland final could have been out that day. And you know, this is what today's game was like. I mean, one team survives, one doesn't.
Yeah, and it's a weird position to be in, that we're sort of concentrating on Galway in our comments, post-match comments at the moment, and that we're sort of sheepishly accepting that we've just won a Connacht Championship in Salt Hill and are now at one match away from an All-Ireland final. It's a bizarre situation to be so calm about, or you know, just when you're on about the decisions, they're right at the death. There was even another one in that passage of play where I think maybe Paddy Durkin slid in and touched the ball potentially on the ground, which could have also been a free in for Galway, just again right at the death. So listen, maybe it's in our nature that we're sort of already maybe overly concentrating on the negatives from the Mayo point of view, but the reality is, like you say, Rob, small little moments like that change seasons, turn seasons for teams. Like Mayo are now a game away from being an All-Ireland final, and like they really don't have to worry about, like, they've 3 weeks build up to it. There's a good bit to work. Like, what impressed me actually about Mayo today were the things that worried me the most. Their kickouts, David Clark's kickouts were an awful lot better than I thought they'd be under serious pressure today given the conditions. They weren't. There was a couple of dodgy ones maybe coming close to the end of the second half, but generally speaking, he performed quite well. And we were talking about this as was happening, they were kind of managing a 2-point lead for a long time during that second half, and although Galway you know, were on top in a lot of areas, Mayo still were in control and looked like they were going to see it out. And then, as Mike said, the last 5 minutes just descended into chaos, and it could have gone the other way. It didn't, and this will all be forgotten in history in three weeks time if we're in an All-Ireland final.
It was interesting as well to hear James Horne make the point that, considering they had 8 or 9 lads playing in their first Connacht senior final, he actually said that Oisín Mullen had never actually played in this pitch, that it may have contributed to them being a little tentative. And then on the flip side, when you stack that up, Galway coming back at them, Galway with the wind, Mayo 2 up but under the cosh, to come out on the right side of the results, plus throw in the 5 games in 5 weeks. I mean, it's a character building win. Yes, there are plenty of work-ons, as you'd hear Andy Friend, I'm sure, tell you regularly at the sports ground, Rob. But Mayo
actually tells us those work-ons sometimes too.
Yeah, I haven't heard work-ons creep into the Gaelic football lexicon just yet. But Mayo have 3 weeks now to get ready to play the Munster champions in Croke Park, a pitch they love to play on. You'd imagine it'll suit so many of these guys down to the ground. And I just think today was one of those days, get in, get out, win that Connacht title back. And now you've got 8 or 9 guys with their first Connacht medal who hopefully won't look back.
It's funny, you mentioned Oisín Mullen's first ever game in Pearse Stadium. I did see him out in the pitch when the rest of the lads were over on this side here just drinking it all in. He was looking for something. I don't know what he lost on the Pearse Stadium pitch, but I won't even want to speculate.
Maybe he was looking for the Nestor Cup, which, as we discovered, won't go back with Mayo, with the Mayo team today. Aidan O'Shea tried to bring it down for photos, and John Prenti came in and said, no, just there for the presentation. It's going back to the Connacht Council Centre of Excellence in Bacon, and that's where it will remain for the foreseeable future, which John told us afterwards is to make sure there's no photos of people drinking out of cups after the controversy after a lot of club finals. So Mayo got to hold the Nestor Cup for 30 seconds.
Nice little extra
after waiting 5 years.
Okay, on that bombshell, we're going to hear a very brief wrap of the game, because let's be honest, you all lived through it. There's not a whole lot of highlights. That said, we might give you a small little sample of what we were feeling in the closing stages. Let's start with that, and then straight to the best man I can possibly think of in this province to make sense of that game, Paul Early. And from there, you're going to hear Andy Moore. And so a great lineup here. We'll be back here for our own wrap of the day after we hear from James Horne after all that as well. Strangest thing about the COVID-19 era is the pre-match. Once the game starts, everything is pretty much as you would expect. But right now, Mayo are in a huddle, Galway are in a huddle. Mayo are just moving their plastic boxes that have become synonymous with each game they play to one side. And they will take to the field. Colin Sheridan, welcome along to our in-game section of the podcast.
It's great to be here, Rob. It's very, very exciting. Great to see some live sport. And really looking forward to the afternoon's action. I suppose it's a bit of a strange one. We don't know what Galway have in the locker, and Mayo have been building nicely the last couple of weeks. So let's hope. We always know things can throw up in these games that we're not expecting. But let's hope it goes according to form.
Edwin, what have you seen so far? Mayo leading 5 points to 2.
Yeah, I think Gaul will be happy enough with that, just especially getting that score right there on the water break, Rob. I think they're getting bodies behind very well. The direct ball hasn't been on, and Mayo have had to build up slowly and try to shoot from loop around and shoot rather than getting fast ball inside. Galway have set very well defensively from that point of view. And into the wind, Galway have looked dangerous a lot of the time they got inside, and Mayo seem to have one-on-one at the back more often than not. Stephen Cohn is trying to fill in as a sweeper, but he's not getting back into that position near often enough. And I just worry, we talk about it, you know, how many scores Mayo need to be in front of it at half-time with that wind. I just worry that there could be a goal chance in Galway. They haven't had one so far, but all it takes is Mayo, one missed tackle, one slip. They're just kind of living on the edge a little bit too much at the back in terms of how high they're pushing up the field. So, yeah, it's interesting to see now if Mayo reorganise themselves in any way, but certainly the direct ball inside hasn't been an option for them so far at all.
All right, Oisín Mullen tidies up the ball just as we're coming to half time, and it's 8 points to 5.
No kick around at half time.
I hope we get
no kick around on the pitch at half time.
Man, remind everyone, no kick arounds, lads. It is a 3-point lead for Mayo. Edwin McGrail, your thoughts? You're doing the numbers, so not where we want to be.
No, and just on the point on kickouts, like Bernard Power has taken 14 kickouts, and 12 of them have been won by Galway, which is. And considering I make it, only one went short, which was his very first kickout. Everything else either went long or went to space, which into that wind is a very tricky thing to be doing. So it wasn't necessarily a very obvious kickout. So for Galway to be that dominant when the ball has been going long is a concern with the nature of that wind and what Mayo will be looking to do on David Clark's kickouts in the second half. I think Galway will be trying to press up as hard and as high as they can and force Mayo to go long. And on the basis of those numbers so far, Galway are dominant when the ball goes down to a contest. Mayo won all six of their own kickouts, but all bar four of those were uncontested short kickouts. So there was only two that went to any sort of contest at all. I suppose as against that, like Galway won 12 kickouts, they've only got six shots. So they have turned over a lot of ball. They've been obviously very efficient, 5 out of 6, but they have turned over a lot of ball. A lot of very good Mayo defending at times, but a couple of poor Galway turnovers as well. So that's something that Mayo are going to need to keep up, is that high level of defending, the quality of defending. But it's one-on-one defending, and that has really been the difference rather than any structured approach, which is what Galway have been doing very well. It hasn't been a case of Galway winning one-on-one battles, and they've won a few of those, but it's more so in terms of the bodies they're getting back and the shape that they're taking.
All right, it's water break, and Edwin, do you want to just repeat what you said there, because I think it's a good summary?
Yeah, I think the challenge for Galway is to get in front. I think if they get in front, Mayo are going to find it very hard to get back. But like the 17 and 18 games where Mayo were always within touching distance in the comeback against Galway but never quite got there, that's the challenge for Galway. And look, at they've the more clinical forwards in a lot of respects to do that job against Mayo. But if Mayo can keep chipping away and getting the scores at the other end, and just keeping that 1-2 point gap, even stretching it out a bit, then it's a, you know, it's a different story.
Chris Barrett has given Mayo just the dream scenario. 27 minutes gone, we're jumping in here, 13-10. It's still, you know, it's a hard-earned lead for Mayo. We've been critical of them throughout the game. I hope it's in shine with the way people watched it from another point of view. But they're hanging in there and they're battling.
Yeah, the as the clock ticks on, Rob, to be honest, the more impressive and in control Mayo look. They don't look like they're going to tack on too many more scores, but they just look more impressive and more in control than Galway are. They're nearly allowing Galway some possessions, and Galway inevitably then are messing them up, which they'll be kicking themselves over. And you nearly feel Mayo need the ball less to do more here in the last 10 or 15 minutes, hopefully. Another big win there from Dermot O'Connor, and Galway are just tying themselves in knots a little bit.
Another inside, this is the goal chance to win the game.
Has to be a penalty.
Outside. It's on the edge.
Just outside. Just outside.
Bizarre from Mayo there. They had so many players going up for that ball that no one was ready for the break. McLaughlin's about to get the black. Galway have to decide whether to go for goal or not, Colin.
Yeah, this end game was probably foreseeable 15, 20 minutes ago, or even back to half time. Mayo protecting a 2-point lead. Galway missing a lot of chances. Shane Walsh has had 2 frees in the last 5 minutes that should have really tied the game if he was kicking to his usual high standard. Now we're looking at a 1-point game, and possibly the last possession coming up.
Ireland's horns, fist in the air. Oh, that means a lot to him. It means a lot to Mayo. 5 years waiting for a Connacht title. And they have hung on in the kind of way that Galway beat Mayo three times out of the last, the last three times they played them in Connacht.
Yeah, roles reversed. Definitely Mayo hanging on. Absolutely hanging on. Galway will be sickened. Absolutely sick. Port Joyce will be sick. Brilliant for Mayo, obviously, to win in such circumstances.
Wow. Okay, so we know what it was like to be on the other foot. Edwin, just to finish the in-game segment of this before we get our little bits of jobs done, can you just wrap that up and some of the numbers that you picked up?
Yeah, well, it was interesting, actually. Mayo done very well on their own kick-out in the second half, but they lost the last two there. They lost three in a row in there, but it didn't matter because they just managed to stay in front. And I think what they did there, which we haven't always seen from them in the past, their game management in the second half was better than it has been in previous situations like that. It wasn't brilliant, but it was improved from how Mayo normally manage a lead like that. And like we said at the water break, they stayed in front. Galway never got level. If Galway got level, different story. And I think there's a couple of goal chances here. Brian Walsh took the point, right option, but a goal chance was on if they used it better, and Owen McLaughlin's shot was saved. But that being said, Owen McLaughlin doesn't make that foul. It's no guaranteed goal. David Clark is in goal. He may well have saved it, but Owen McLaughlin doesn't make that foul. Galway have a goal chance, and it could have ended up a very, very different way, and all Mayo's hard work would have been undone by the fact that they got too many bodies committed under the breaking ball, and that would have been naive, and we wouldn't have been talking about their game management in a positive sense at all.
Something we'll probably bring up in the post-game chat. Paul Early, first of all, thanks for joining us in the podcast. Second of all, I said there to Colin during the in-game that sometimes, you know, these are the type of games where Mayo people will tell you if we lost, are sure we weren't good enough anyways. Yeah. But these are the games you have to win if you're serious about winning championships. Grinding out, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And probably in winter conditions like we have today here and heavy pitch and, you know, Mayo, their fifth game in a row, it was a huge win for them because everything was going against them, really. You know, they'd missed a lot of chances in the first half with the wind, strong wind, as we know here in Salt Hill. Went in three points ahead. And, you know, you expected Galway to come strongly. But I think, you know, Mayo, early on in the second half, ran strongly at the Galway defence. Matty Rowan scored a brilliant point. He was really good. I think there was another score early. And I think that set the tone for the second half. And it was tit for tat for quite a most of that second half. But it was a grind by Mayo, and they'll be absolutely thrilled to win it in the manner in which they did.
We took a pause there just for Aidan O'Shea's speech and a little mention for the Mayo fans back home. They're going to be very happy, Paul. We talk about Mayo. We just talked about Mayo grinding it out. What was the difference beyond a single point today?
Well, there was nothing in it in the end when you think about it. Like Shane Walsh, obviously, who had a super game and kicked, I make it 6 points, three from play for Galway. Like, he had those two frees in the end. They were difficult. Any one of those went over, we could be, you know, in extra time, talking about extra time at this stage. So there was very little in it. I think just in that middle period in the second half, you know, where there was Mayo had a 3-point advantage, and for maybe 6 or 7 minutes, maybe a bit longer, there was no scores. Mayo had three attacks, they were turned over. Galway had three attacks, they were turned over. I think that particular period where Galway didn't get into the ascendancy, I think Mayo took a bit of heart from that. You know, running the clock down, like, there was nothing in it. But I thought defensively, I thought Mayo were magnificent. Like, I'm looking at Galway, Paul Conroy had a very, very good game, kicked 3 points from play, as did Shane Walsh. Outside of that, no other Galway forward really contributed, and I think that's great credit to the Mayo defence. I think they did a super job. The one difference, I think, and the reason probably why Mayo won today, was probably because Mayo's defence were just that little bit better individually in their marking duels. I think in the midfield it was probably 50-50 in the end. Galway won an awful lot of their own kickouts, and that would be a concern a little bit for Mayo as well. Probably not as dominant in midfield as they'd like to be. But look, you know, in years gone by, Mayo might have been on the other end of these type of results, losing by a point. So, you know, Mayo, the team, will take great heart from that. And some of the newcomers that came in, you know, to have their first Connacht final and to go away with the Connacht medal is a great achievement.
I just see James Horan chatting to Matty Rowan there. I don't know, was he giving him a few tips on what to say and maybe what not to say, but he's got man of the match. Talk to me about your impressions of his performance today.
Well, I thought he was terrific, but I thought he set the tone early in the second half. He made a couple of runs forward, got a super point. Obviously, he got a point in the first half with his fist, a magnificent point in the second half. And I think early on, Mayo needed to see that from, you know, one of their players, and it was Matty Rowan who kind of took the initiative. He linked play really well right throughout the game, particularly, as I said, in that second half through the middle, and he ran himself into the ground. You know, I see him coming off here with 7 or 8 minutes to go, and he was out on his feet. And that's the way he plays all the time. He plays with great energy, great enthusiasm, fitness and pace, and I thought he had an outstanding game, and I would certainly agree with it, his achievements are as a man of the match.
We were watching Oisin Mullen game by game and we're excited by him. Can you give us some impression overall of the kind of player he is and what he's bringing to me?
Look, we know about his athleticism and his ability to take the ball and run forward. And, you know, last week in the Connacht semi-final, I know Donny Smith gave him a hard time and kicked two good points from play. So there were question marks about his defensive ability. But I think they've been dispelled today because he just had an outstanding game today. You know, there were a couple of occasions in the first half where Galway, there were one-on-one situations. He dispossessed the player. He has that pace to be able to run with the player who's carrying the ball. And he dispossessed them legally. And I think it's testimony to, I suppose, to the esteem in which James Horan holds him in, that when Damien Comer came on in the second half, mm-hmm. it was Oisin Mullen that picked him up. Mm-hmm. Now that was a big surprise because, you know, an experienced, strong, you know, ball winner like Damien Comer, you'd have expected maybe a Lee Keegan to drop back in him or maybe Paddy Durkin, but it wasn't. It was Oisin Mullen that was given that task, and he did a great job, and some terrific tackles, some terrific dispossessions, and when he gets the ball, then he has that lightning pace, as has Owen McLaughlin as well, mm-hmm. and I think he made a big difference in the second half as well, ran forward on a few occasions, as did Brian Walsh. His first touch in the second half, he kicks a point with the outside of the boot, and then I think he knocks another one, fists another one over just to keep the scoreboard ticking. So, you know, all of those, you know, the newcomers, you know, would be very satisfied. Tommy Conroy, 3 points from play, first Connacht final, great achievement as well. So Keith Higgins comes on in the end. You could see he had great energy, but you could see he was rusty.
Yeah.
You know, dropped a couple of balls, which you'll never see from Keith Higgins. So you know, and I'd say that's just down to the lack of football over the last number of weeks.
I could talk about the referee, but it's a tough job, so maybe we won't do that. But Sean seemed to definitely have calls going either way today. Let's put it that way. That could have gone either way. McLaughlin's challenge, maybe in the interest of the Mayo News podcast, being as balanced as it possibly can, it's a cynical foul that stops a goal chance.
Yeah.
We're all kind of relieved he did it. Is there any heavy criticism for the thought process in that, or do you accept it?
No, it's 2 minutes to go in a Connacht final, and look, you don't like to see it. I don't like to see cynicism in the game. Player bearing down on goal, and he fouls him outside, and he's right. It was a black card. Mayo were down to 14 men for the last two or three minutes of the game of injury time. It didn't make a difference in the end. It was just on the edge of the large parallelogram, so he was lucky, brought them back.
But he still had time to get another point, and unfortunately it all went wrong.
Well, I think there was about 15-20 seconds left when he got the the free, but the referee then took a bit of time to give the yellow card, and then Mayo kicked the ball out, and I thought again a bit of panic, and Mayo kicked the ball out and went straight over the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that when you're a point up and there's a minute left or 30 seconds left. You got to keep the ball in play, and fortunately they were a little bit lucky in the end, because the line ball was taken, hit the ground. I don't know whether it was Paddy Durkin or somebody. I think it was Paddy Durkin in diving to try and knock the ball away. It, to me, it looked as if he touched the ball on the ground. But I put it this way, the referee made a lot of strange decisions today. So, you know, I think that probably evened it out in the end.
Last thought then, and that's the thing, you know, we all said in the WhatsApp group on the way up that Mayo will win. But then I asked them to game out what's going to happen if Mayo don't win. And everyone said Mulkern will probably have a good game, Paddy Durkin probably won't have the influence he needs to have, and maybe Killian and Aidan not as dominant as they were. All those things seem to happen today.
Yeah.
And yet they won.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a great game of football by any means. And, you know, Galway didn't look as sharp as you would have expected if they had had two or three games coming into the game. Mm-hmm. And they looked rusty, and a number of players looked rusty. There were times when balls went through a fella's hands and, you know, meant to take two bites of the cherry on occasions. Again, we have to factor in the conditions and all that, but they do look a bit rustier. But I think that the fact that Mayo won without their top players performing at the level that you expect is a positive for Mayo, because it means that the younger players have come in and done a job. And there was good balance, I think, on the field today. I said it before last week's game, the concern that and it manifested itself again today is that, you know, if Endoshea isn't out around the middle, and Matty Ron caught a couple of big balls, but they don't really have another, you know, competitive player in the air for the kickouts. And Galway won a lot of kickouts, you know, quite easily. On their own kick out, and that would be a concern against a team who would have a lot of tall midfielders.
Cork
and, tall players
and Tipperary both have that.
And Cork and Tip both have that, exactly. Looking forward, you know, Donegal, we saw Donegal yesterday, they have three big men across the middle. We know Dublin have three big men across the middle as well. So, you know, as you're progressing now, you're going to need to be able to compete really aggressively in midfield on opposition as well as your own kick out. And I think that's something that Mayo need to probably have a look at.
Paul, pleasure watching the game with you.
Not at all. Good night, Rob. Okay.
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out our website at grg-sports.com.
Andy Moran, famous for many podcasts, and we got him last week, and a lot of people enjoyed it, Andy, so I had to get you again, especially after you won the Connacht title.
Yeah, I don't have my sidekick with me this week, though. That's Robin Kearney's gone. But no, it was great. It was nervous there coming down the stretch now.
Yeah.
It was hard to know what was going to happen. We were struggling a bit for field position, but I think in that last 5, 6, 7 minutes, Owen McLaughlin, who had a quiet game up to that point, really broke the line for us, really gave us kind of just got us a bit of space when we needed it most, and it was vital. And himself, Brian Walsh, Matty Ruan in the second half, I thought really put the shoulder to the wheel and done well for us. But great to get the win. I think this is going to be a battle we're going to see for the next 10 years. I think you can you see the two teams shaping nicely in terms of what we're going to be seeing over the next while. And I think Gaul will be very disappointed tonight because they're not going to an Ireland semi-final, but I think they'll take great hope out of that as well. In terms of the way they performed, how they did defensively against the MEO team with two, like, you have to remember the three guys they have there in Dermot, Killian and Aidan and Kevin McLaughlin. Four guys there who've been around the block, who've won, you know, All-Stars, Young Player of the Years, everything, and they were well able to mind them there today. And I think they'll take great hope out of that.
If you were out there, what would you have been looking to do in those closing stages? Because it looked like a really difficult game. I know Tommy Conroy, for example, came out with 3 points. Had you come out with that, you would be very happy with that. So there's that on the table. But it was hard to find scores in that second half.
It was hard to find scores. The wind built up just before halftime. You could see the flags just behind the goals there, just building up nicely. And Walsh got that point. We gave away the free just before halftime. It brought them back to 3 points, just down 8-5. And it was kind of a vital kind of time. But I don't think as an inside forward you can't do much else. I think James brought Aidan out, made a bit of an impact. Killian kind of drifting in and out as well to try to get the ball off the field. But I think you did all you can do. Got caught a tiny bit with the last kick out where Kelly nearly got the penalty.
Do we have so many players going for that ball and no one down, kind of waiting?
Sometimes you just feel, listen, we need to go and get the break, and they were just too tight to the break. And what happened was the goalie lad went up, and instead of going to catch it, he put the fist to it and drove it 5 yards further on, and then away they go and they were through. And can't wait to see tonight, was it outside the box or inside the box? But I think it was outside. If it was Owen McLaughlin that did the foul, on a Mayo point of view, thanks very much, Owen McLaughlin. You did a great job for us. But it was a good foul at the right time, and it's great to see a young fella having the composure and experience to be able to do that.
I remember Mayo digging out a Connacht final over Roscommon in one of the seasons, and I've actually forgotten which one it was, but we went on to great things. I feel sometimes people underestimate games like this. You know, had we lost, you know, there would have been a few people saying, Arra, were they even good enough? Galway were the better team. You have to grind out a game like this in any season along the way, don't you?
Right, and I said it last week. James Horne's record in Connacht finals is extraordinary. He's had 5 Connacht finals in a row. Like, we didn't get there last year, but the 5 that he's been in, he's won them all 5. You know, and he won a National League last year. So James has a habit of winning these games, and his experience on the line probably helped us today. I think the impact of Chris Barron on that back line was amazing. Young Keneally did well. He didn't do badly on his debut. Kicked a point, had a few assists, did okay, won a free. But Chrissy's just impact, just smartness, just knowing where to stay. Maybe let your man run out to the wing, let him win the ball. You stay in the centre, block that centre. That's huge. And I think that experience has really, really helped us. And if he's developing Oisín Mullen and he's developing Dave McBrien and these guys for the future, you know, like what an impact he could have for the next 5-6 years on the Mayo team by teaching them now what to do into the future. But the grinding out is key. The way, like a win, the difference in a 1-point win and a 1-point loss psychologically to that team, knowing where they are, is massive moving forward.
Some points I've picked out from what you're saying there. I've heard you talk about the next 10 years with these two lads, or these two teams, and you're talking about the future and you're talking about bringing players through. People all over the world listening to this podcast are getting in their car, going to work in the morning, and just wondering, hey, what about this year, Andy? Can we win it this year?
Oh, we've got this was an All-Ireland quarter-final. So people think, is this just a kind of final? It was a kind of final, but it was not an Ireland quarter final, just with the new structure. And we won't, as Mayo people, let's not be. We are playing either Cork or Tipperary now in an All Ireland semi final. And that game is not a foregone conclusion. The 3-13 to Cork in the league to 21 points to Tipperary, that's going to be a tight game. Tipperary's a rearing back, they have huge confidence. And at underage, they're used to beating Cork. So that's going to be a really tight game. We go to Croke Park the week after, we're going to have a rest of a week. We go to Croke Park the week after in a game that, on paper, we should win. And I expect us to be in an All-Ireland final on December 19th. And once you get there, do you have a chance? It's a two-horse race. Yes, you might. You probably, even though Donegal were extraordinary last night, you probably still have Dublin on the other side of it. Yes, if Dublin play Mayo in an All-Ireland final, should they beat them? They probably should. But you're there, and you're giving yourself a chance. So do we have a chance to win it this year? Of course we do. And the guys, the Kieran McDonalds, the James Burkes, and led by James Horne, do they believe we can win it? Most certainly. Do you know, they're not waiting. This could be the chance. Do you know, so they'll do everything in their power to get it. Dublin are still favourites. Donegal are probably second favourites. One of them is going to take each other out in the semi-final more than likely. And Mayo and Cork then on the other side. Underdogs. Let's not dress it up. We're underdogs going into, if we get to a final, either ourselves or Cork or Tipperary, getting to all, it's going to be the underdog side of it. But you've got a chance, and once you're there, you've got a chance.
Just curious about one other thing. One of the key factors people felt in the second half against Dublin last year was there were so many games under the belt, and you know, it just kind of maybe told in that second half. Many different excuses you could say. Dublin were brilliant, of course, as well in that second half. Is that extra week going to really help Mayo compared to what the Munster finalists have to go through?
Yes, I would say it is. But Cork have had a very easy run, like in terms of mileage. They didn't have their last league game, so they've had a good break. They played Kerry, they've had a break. They play next week, so they'll be fine. In case of a dead leg, maybe a little nick on your hamstring or something like this, it could put one of their big players out of the game, because they've only got 6 or 7 days. So it's a big advantage. But if everyone comes through it fit and healthy, they'll be fine, because they're so young and they'll be 100%. They'll be like us when we got on that run a couple of years ago, you know. So that's going to be a tough semi-final. I do expect us
to expect it to be Cork by the sound of things, even though
you do expect it to be Cork. You have to expect it to be Cork after what they did to Kerry. But is it a foregone conclusion? Absolutely not. Like, if you look at the fellas that Cork brought off the bench, Keane, Paul Kerrigan and Connolly up front, and young Hurley, the younger one of the Hurleys, it's 4 series 4s. Like, they're a good team, and they've done the work and they know how to do it. They have the factor of Keane O'Neill and stuff like that, you know, so they're a good team. But Tip won't be easy. Tip of good players. When you've Sweeney and you've Quinlivan on your team, you know, you never get a game easy. So I do expect it to be Cork, but I expect it to be tight. I expect it to be Mayo Cork semi-final, and I do expect Mayo to have enough.
We can hear Andy Moran on Second Captains with Oisín McGonville. You enjoying that crack?
Yeah, it's good. It's
all this media malarkey on your off the ball today.
Yeah, it's I do enjoy it. It's not something I'm sure I'm going to stick full time.
A lot of people will be disappointed here.
I've kind of like, I really do want to get into the kind of coaching side of it, and I've kind of made no hidden secret about that. I did a bit with Balladreen this year in the Mayo under 20s, so hopefully next year now we can kind of push that on a bit as well, and do a bit more on that side. That's what I'm looking forward to. We might do a bit of this on the side, but the main thing is going to be the coaching element, and who knows, in a couple of years we might come back.
It's nice to have a week where the Galway lads won't be annoying us in WhatsApps, right?
Oh, hey, listen, it's lovely just to be Connacht champions again. We haven't done it since 2015. I told a story last week. I remember coming out at Hyde Park 2015, sitting beside Alan Dillon, I think on the day we were just sitting at the front because we equaled Lee McHale's record, I think, do you know? And I think there was someone else in that as well, Lee McHale, I don't know who the other one of eight. And I kind of turned to Alan and said, she's been winning a few more of these. We haven't won one since, so let's not underestimate how important this was to win today. It gets us back on top of Connacht. It gives James a foothold, and he knows now who's rightly ready for the battle when it's needed. Like what Brian Walsh, lads, honestly did there today in the second half, that puts him up two notches. It doesn't put up one notch, it puts him up two notches, because he's came in, he's assisted a score, he scored two, took a right option instead of going for a goal, flicked it over the bar, which proves to be the winner. Joe James Horne is looking at him and saying, you're meant for Croke Park, come on, let's be having you. And he, all of a sudden, he's cemented his place for the next couple of years, you know. And it's key, and that's why it's key to win these games, and that's why it's key to keep moving on in this format.
James, your backs were to the wall in that second half, but you stayed in front, you dug in. That was that the most pleasing part of the win?
To win the Connacht final up here by a point is brilliant. With we made so many mistakes and did that things, played a bit tentatively today, but to stick in and keep at it. And those few huge moments I thought in the game, I know Matty Rowan had a huge turnover out here on the 45, and Owen McLaughlin as well. That's when we were under real pressure. They got two massive turnovers for us, and Paddy at the end. So a couple of plays like that from people just got, held us in there, and look, we're delighted. But you know, we won a Connacht title. We had five games on the trot. We had to go away to Leitrim, we had to go away to Roscommon, we had to go away to Galway, and to win it and to hang in the last 4 or 5 minutes, probably into injury time, and to hang in there and win it is a huge achievement by the lads.
Were you worried at the end that the legs might be an issue, because it did look energy sapping out there?
Oh, it was hard, and we're playing against the wind and everything, and they were coming at us in waves and all that. It's meant a challenge, but the guys they kept hanging in there and hanging in there. They wanted to win that one. You could see it. So to have that journey and all the mistakes and everything else and still come through, look at them, we're delighted.
And how much of a focus this week was the 5 years since the Connacht title for the group?
We're not, and the season's in. I keep telling you this, it's not a focus. It's genuinely not. We're just trying to get better every week. We're trying to get absolutely, and that's exactly what we're doing. Very little talk of Connacht finals or opposition. We're just trying to get our stuff right, and you can see there today. I think it was one from 12 on their kickouts in the first half. We were blitzed on their kickouts, and you know, so there was a huge amount of work to do on various bits, and that's what we'll do when we get back together.
How concerned were you at half time when you said like they're struggling on their kickout and playing into the wind in the second half, which was it a 3-point gap?
I don't know if worried is the word, but you knew it was going to be. Yeah, you knew they were going to be. Look at their quality players, and Shane Walsh is just a threat at any moment, at any time in any game. So you're watching that, and it was our first Connacht title, and I'm sure that does, you know, creep in at some stage into some guys. It's the first time a lot of the guys have played here. Never mind the Connacht final, you know. So look, to all those little things, and to play like we did, and still grind it out. I'm absolutely delighted.
And how big is it for the younger lads to have that Connacht medal?
Huge, you know. Huge. I think, you know, as you say, it's been a while since we've won one, and so to get a Connacht title, every player likes a provincial title, so to get that on their first goal is great.
And you've a bit of a break now, probably very welcome.
Yeah. I will take a few days off and have a think about it and get back together towards the end of the week. Yeah, so delighted.
James, Matty Rand's performance today, I mean, it just felt like what we saw in 2019 from him.
Yeah, he was good, and again he won a few great turnovers for us, and I think that point that we was a very flowing move up the field, and how we kicked that at full pace straight in front of him was a really difficult kick into the wind. It was a great score, so he did well. He won't be happy that, you know, so many fielded balls were caught on him, so he'll be already trying to figure out a way to solve that.
One question I'd have for you is when Damien Comer came on, we're all wondering who you're going to put on him. You trusted Oisín Mullin with him. How happy were you with that?
Look at Oisín Mullin. You saw, I think Oisín Mullin in the first half today was was outrageous for us, as he's been all year. And you know, I keep telling Oisín, his first two games we played for us, the first one was Merkin, Conor McManus, and I think the second one is David Clifford. So we trust him quite a lot.
the voice of James Horan. You also heard from Andy Moran, back by popular demand. Thanks, Andy, and thanks to Paul Early here as well. As part of his role as a Sky Sports analyst, he will be back on duty next weekend, no doubt. Lots to look forward to. Colin, my favourite part of still being in the Championship is you get to watch all the other games with just that extra bit of enthusiasm. I'm looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice few weeks building up to the semi-final, and to even be talking about being in All-Ireland semi-final, doesn't matter what month of the year it is, that's a huge, huge thing. I think this run of games has helped Mayo, it's helped the group of players that Horan has, and even having to work with them now for the next 3 weeks and work on the things that obviously they might have fallen down a little bit on today would be a great benefit to them. And I have to hand it to a few of those guys who have come in, being their breakthrough season. Tommy Conroy was excellent today. McLaughlin, wing back, had put in a huge shift, and I think Matty Ruan had a game that he really needed for Mayo, which was like, you know, it's a huge benefit to that team heading up to Croke Park. And you know, it's going to set up, as you say, it makes us all a bit more comfortable watching all the matches that's to come. Cork and Tip up next, and that'll be fascinating to see who comes out of that.
Yeah, Andy Moran set that up nicely already. They had to grind this out today, and it is a huge one to win against the grain almost.
Yeah, it's the type of result where there were at half time that we wouldn't have been overly confident with Mayo in the past having getting that job done, particularly against Galway. And it was actually, like we said in game, it was the reverse of the 2017 and 2018 game, where Mayo were chasing and always looked like they were going to catch Galway and get there, but just didn't in the end. And Mayo just crucially stayed that 1-2-3 point in front, and that buffer was huge. And I like how they managed it. I know things were very tight in the last couple of minutes, and Galway could and perhaps should have got an equaliser, but Mayo held possession very well at stages there in that second half. They waited to try and create the best opportunity. Sometimes there wasn't maybe enough incision in their runs, but I just thought they were in a lot more control than they would ordinarily be in that situation. It wasn't absolutely brilliant control, but it was a marked improvement from what we would have seen in previous years. And yeah, it's interesting listening to James Horan there. Two things he said is big now is that the prize on offer today was huge. In terms of, now, I don't know, did he mean an All-Ireland semi-final, no quarter-final to worry about or Super 8s, or a Division 3 opponent? But he was asked specifically about a Division 3 opponent, and that was his answer. So that's an interesting point. And also, he said 3 weeks, delighted to get to 3 weeks, particularly after the 5 weeks that they've had, to have that contact time together to work on what they need to work on. And like Mike was saying, like, yeah, this team, you would have to think, is a Croke Park team in terms of their speed and their energy levels. So they've a lot of time to be working on that and waiting to see who they're going to be playing.
I'm familiar with Galway City. I lived here for plenty of years. I can tell you it's not the part of the city where you're going to hear lots of car horns beeping New York style. So those car horns are Mayo car horns, I'm calling it. Shout out to Anne-Marie Kenny, who was here before the game, a friend of the podcast, and she was there to kind of cheer the lads in.
Which reminds me, just before I pick up on Ed's point there, I was just Googling a little earlier about David Clark, because I may as well come clean. I had €2 on David Clark at 50-1 to be man of the match today. Now it didn't come up. I'll hold my hands up, but I felt it was a good punt. But I see David will be 37 at the end of the month, and he's just won his 8th Connacht Senior Championship medal. And having a look to just confirm it was his 8th brought me into an article I wrote during the summer when things were quiet during the lockdown, when I did a profile of David, and I discovered that he had been staying sharp for the likes of today by doing cosmic yoga with the kids, and his wife Paula was outside doing goalkeeping drills with him. And I just feel now is as good a time as any, 5 months on, to just reflect back on that Mayo news piece, which seems like it was written 20 years ago.
I just want to say the words "with him" at the end of that sentence were doing heavy lifting, because I thought she was outside doing the goalkeeping drills and
she may have been. But something Ed said there that kind of got my train of thought going. I think it's very interesting when you're here on a day like today, and we are so close to the pitch and so close to the interactions between management, players and the group. The dynamics of this Mayo group at the moment intrigue me, because I've been watching Mayo teams for 25 years now and how they interact with each other and interact with the outside world. And there's something very different about the way things are being done at the minute. No Mayo player, bar the man of the match for RTE, did an interview. James Horan did all the media. It's a very controlled environment, and I'm not saying whether that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it seems to me like there's an extreme focus there. There's definitely a desire to stay on message, keep those 8 or 9 guys who won their first medals today, keep them focused. No point having big interviews, big headlines or whatever. And that says to me that Mayo have their eyes on a much bigger prize. And Ed said there, it'll be Cork or Tipperary, probably Cork in an All-Ireland semi-final. They are Division 3 opponents. Mayo will feel now they have an almighty crack at getting to a final and then having a one shot at Dublin or Donegal probably in an All-Ireland final. But I'm not sure what the lads think about that. But I remember standing in the middle of Hyde Park or McHale Park for 20 minutes, half an hour, interviewing Mayo players after Connacht finals in the last few years. I'm not going back too far here. Completely different story. And given that there's no fans in here, it just does strike me as odd that maybe there wasn't a little bit more interaction. But look, maybe this is these are the times we live in.
Yeah, I found it myself thinking there towards the end, will I just go and ask a player to, and I was doubting myself because I was like, you can't really go up to someone right now in the middle of social distancing world and just say, can I grab a few words and stand right beside them? Whereas that's what we were able to do. You know, I remember interviewing Lee Keegan on the pitch in 2012 after Mayo won the Connacht title in the Hyde. And but I do think I do think after winning a Connacht title and with the fans not here, maybe it's not something they think too much about, but I think I'd be inclined to think that it would be quite deliberate that they'd be holding things back. But I just think when there aren't fans here, I just think it's no harm to hear a voice from the players as well, particularly when so many of them, like, don't, you know, if you don't want to put up a younger lad, that's fine, but like there's so many of these guys that are well used to press conferences, All-Ireland build up, and you know they're not going to say anything stupid. I just think it would have been no harm to just put someone forward, but maybe ahead of the All-Ireland semi-final we'll have access to whoever we want. You never know,
Colin. The one response we get sometimes in this job is, you journalists just want copy inches. And I don't think it is that, but I can't help but understand that there are probably some fans out there who couldn't care less if we never hear from them again as long as they're winning games.
Yeah, I think most people would actually feel like that. I think it's bizarre to think, you know, if you put it in a broader context, if I go back 12 months, what we were reading, what we were writing about, what we were talking about in podcasts about Mayo football was something entirely different. We were in a bit of a dark, we had a very dark hour or two at the end of last year, with all the off-field stuff. You go back 7-8 months to, we were coming up here to play Galway in a league match that didn't happen, potentially would have relegated us or put us in a position where we were going down that would have then led us into a Connacht Championship where the dynamic would have been very, very different. Galway would have been the team on the up and we very much would have been the team on the slide, and that would have been the narrative going into that. And that does get into players' heads and teams' heads, no matter what management try and do otherwise. So if you had a normal summer, things would have, I think, potentially worked out very, very different, and it would have been a tough enough year for Mayo fans and players alike to stomach. Now we find ourselves Connacht champions after winning it in Galway, against Galway, who were the team that everybody needed to beat apparently, and we're looking at an All-Ireland semi-final where we're going to be favourites going in against Division 3 team. It's amazing how, okay, it's consequence of circumstances, nobody could have foreseen what was going to happen, but I think Mayo have adapted. Credit to James Horne, to his management team, to the county board and to the players, they've adapted and to this situation extremely, extremely well. And as Mike says, it possibly suits them. They're a very tight-knit group. James is obviously very protective of his players in many respects, and their relationship with, you know, the outside world, I guess. So maybe this dynamic and everything that's going on suits this group of players. It certainly has suited them in the run-up to this particular game and how it's fallen for them. So, yeah, we couldn't dare believe that. The joke was a few weeks, months ago, that imagine Mayo would win X in front of nobody, etc., etc. Nobody even wanted to make that joke down at Mayo. It was everybody else's joke to make. But like, we're now in a position where we have to face the facts. We're going into an All-Ireland semi-final. No matter who we're playing, we're going to be favourites. We're looking at playing in an All-Ireland final potentially, if all things go well, a week before Christmas. We're all grown-ups, like, we might as well talk about this like it's something that's going to actually happen, and it should happen. Like, you know, we're back to that stage again, so we have to start getting our heads around that, and that's not something we should be shying away from. Like I said, I'm a Mayo man living in Galway. I'm going to sheepishly walk out of here and crack open 7.5% IPA tonight, and I'm going 7.5. It's got to be a different, like you say, about how you know the fans don't care about this or that. You know, I mean, me as a consumer of all of these things, yeah, I want to know what the players think, and I want to know what a manager thinks, and I want to know what's going on behind the curtain. So I think, yeah, there's something lost in that, and even being privileged enough to be here today to cover the game, and you realise how much, like, there's no talk about this game around town. There's no, as Mike or who we're saying, outside of WhatsApp groups, and you know, a bit of social media, like that's where we're generating the conversation about these things, and that is a shame. But honestly, do you think like Lee Keegan or Colin Boyle or Keith Higgins is going to come to the end of his career and regret that this is how he won his All-Ireland? I don't think so.
I think Colin Sheridan's book on Mayo's journey to X, as we're calling it now, I like that, will be the WhatsApp All-Ireland. That's what they're looking for to this. Not the COVID All-Ireland, the WhatsApp All-Ireland.
Yeah, I was chatting to Colin about that a little earlier. That penny dropped with me a few weeks ago that, you know, where do we now talk about the team selection, the possible tactical formations, the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. It's in a WhatsApp group or various WhatsApp groups, and it's
in the Mail News every Tuesday.
Or in the Mail News every Tuesday, of course. But like my point is, we're no longer in a bar, in a cafe, in a restaurant. You know, even standing around like this. I mean, this is a one off here. We get to stand in the stand at Pier Stadium and shoot the breeze.
We're alternating on dropping masks, lifting masks.
I'm keeping my mask on. Yeah. Everyone else is 2 meters back. There's masks going on and off, and this is the way it is. But I think. To echo what Colin said, there will be no asterisks beside this All-Ireland for whoever wins it. These are the rules that have been now laid down. This is the way this championship has been played out. And in 5 years' time or 10 years' time, the record books will show in 2020 the All-Ireland champions were. It's a bit like today. This is not going to make the classic Connacht final DVD, I don't think, anytime soon, today's game. There were some passages of good play. I have to say, Shane Welch is an outrageous footballer.
All the good points came from Paul Conroy and Shane Welch.
Shane Welch made a run after about 5 minutes down the field here, and it struck me. He was pulling away from Paddy Durkin while soloing the ball. And I thought, if you can pull away from Paddy Durkin in a sprint, never mind while soloing the ball, you have wheels.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree, and I was really worried, particularly when Paddy Durkin picked up the yellow card, and then Lee Keegan went on at the start of the second half. He lost a couple of balls, and Shane Walsh got a point on his foul for a free that he put over. But I think after that, in fairness to Lee Keegan, I think he kept a very good rein on him, and I thought that was it showed the smarts, and I thought Chris Barrett did that all day long. One contest that he'd no right to win, and I think that kind of sums up why Mayo won here today, is that when the chips were down and when the big questions were being asked, it was Mayo that was just about coming up with the answers, you know, just in those kind of individual battles, and that was just about enough to win by 1 point.
I love that from Edwin, because if you took one box and put it in the paper and it was why Mayo won, I think that's the first thing everyone would read, because I'm not sure anyone could really get their head around it. So beautifully summarised. Final thoughts. You only get, like, I'm going to time you. You only get a minute, but I just want to quickly think, lads, is there any one extra takeaway that we mightn't have covered yet that you just want to put down a kind of a final thought? I'm going to start. Edwin's up already. Go for it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Keith Higgins came on there and it looked a little bit rusty, like, and I hope the next 3 weeks now just gives the likes of him, the likes of Colin Boyle, the likes of the experienced guys who mightn't have had much game time, just a bit more of a chance, because there's no doubt about it, it's going to become, in Croke Park in particular, like it's going to be a 20-man game. And, you know, we talked about the competition for Mayo is 26, but I think, you know, Mayo are going to need the guys with Croke Park experience coming on in those games. So you'd hope the likes of Keith Higgins, Colin Boyle, perhaps Tom Parsons, Shamie O'Shea, guys like that, Donny Vaughan, you know, that they're more in the mix for an All-Ireland semi-final, because the youth is great, but I think the experience of Croke Park is invaluable in that squad.
Final thought, let's go.
Yeah, one thing I thought we already mentioned, and one thing I definitely felt we did better today was the kick-out strategy was an awful lot better in very difficult conditions, and that gives, I think, a lot of source for comfort heading into a semi-final. But the one thing that I really hope that we can work on, identify in their video analysis, etc., is still that we have an over-reliance on working the ball to the edge of the D before a shot is even considered. And I think when we go to Croke Park, we will need to work on our shooting options, who our shooters are, getting the ball into the right hands, and having the bravery and the kind of balls to take on shots that are going to win matches ultimately. Too often in tight games where we rely, it didn't happen today, but too often we rely on the likes of Paddy Durkin and the wing backs pouring forward and getting scores when we badly need them, or on Killian. I'd still love to see Aidan pull the trigger an awful lot more, because he does find himself with the ball in his hands in positions where he should. And even there was a couple of occasions today where I think Kevin McLaughlin, who's a guy you could usually depend on to take on those shots, didn't. So I think that's one aspect of our game that hopefully going to Croke Park would be more confident in. And James Horn has been brave enough to put faith in these young guys coming in. Brian Walsh came on and kicked a huge score as soon as he came on the park at the start of the second half. So it's back in these players, because you're going to need something different regardless to win an All-Ireland. We do so much so well, so it's just finding that extra bit, and I think that shooting and the shooting options that we need to develop is what may be the thing, if and when it comes to that, on X.
We do so much, so well, but again, is another great takeaway from that. But I like that X. All right, Mike, your thoughts as we go.
Yeah, my final thoughts. Look, I'm delighted for the younger lads. They got their first Connacht medal, and more power to them. But their careers are in front of them. I think today, this evening, I'm thinking about the older guys, and one guy in particular who 5 years ago, 3-4 in the Connacht final up in the Hyde, destroyed Sligo. And here we are 5 years later, and he gets to lift the trophy as Mayo captain, Aidan O'Shea. I mean, Aidan went through a period there not so long ago where he was almost the Mayo player that everybody was piling in on. Mayo losing All-Ireland, everyone seems to go after Aidan, or he finds it so hard to get praise when he does things well. But in the last couple of years, again, Aidan O'Shea is getting the credit that he deserves. And you know, you hear these stories all the time, particularly when Breivik go on a run in the club championship. He's the first guy down to training. He puts in so much work off the field. He's such a professional. I was watching him in the huddle before the game, the water breaks. He's almost now assuming that Michael Murphy role for Donegal. I mean, he's really taken on this mantle of being the team leader. And I just on a personal level, I was delighted for him. He's lost a few county finals with Breivik. Today he wins his 7th Connacht Senior Championship medal, and I think he's one of those guys we will miss him when he's gone. You know, he went out to midfield today early on in the first half. He was so influential for so long. You know, put himself about, won ball, was really smart and sensible. Matty Ruan wins man of the match, but I think Aidan O'Shea will sleep soundly tonight, and I think he'll hit training bouncing on Tuesday.
I think Mayo fans will sleep soundly and hit work bouncing on Monday. That's it. Thanks, folks. I can guarantee you there's going to be more podcasts. Woohoo! These GRG jackets are very warm.
Yeah, they're good jackets. They're up here.